and told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. And let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Oh, draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Oh, draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace. Come on, let's worship the Lord. Oh, draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious on that second verse. Come on, give yourself to it. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Come on, sing it. Oh, draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. And draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord.
We're singing in music, beautiful. Turn with me in your Bible, remain standing. The book of 2 Corinthians. The book of 2 Corinthians. I have a very important message this morning, and I'm going to need your prayers. And I'm going to need your attention very carefully, because I believe it's that important. That important. I would never stand here and tell you that I had a message that I didn't know God had given me a sermon, a message, something to preach to you. So go with me to 2 Corinthians, Let's begin reading with chapter 5 and verse 9. Chapter 5 and verse 9. And then we will go to chapter 6 and verse 4. I want to preach this morning on the Holy Ghost and your temple. The Holy Ghost and your body or temple. Whichever word you want to say. Your body is a temple. Your body is not just an animal body. Your body is a body created after the image of God. And it is a body temple. A temple body. You can use either word. It is a temple body. A body temple. Listen to what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 5, 9. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. You're going to receive everything you have done in this body temple. If it was an animal body, there would be no judgment. You would just die and disappear off the map. But since your body is a temple body, created in the image of God, it is answerable to the Creator. That must be one of the most awesome things I could ever say to you. Your body is a temple body. And for it and all its activities, you're answerable to God. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We beg you. We persuade you. We push you. We push you. But we are manifest unto God. And I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. In other words, I hope you can feel what I'm saying is what Paul was saying. I want you in your conscience, to feel that you're answerable to what goes on in this body. You're answerable. You will answer to God. Oh, what a responsibility. Now go to chapter 6 and verse 4. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in affliction, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonment, in tumult, in labor, in watching and in fasting, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. Now, I hope you get the message. I want you to repeat it after me, if you will. My body is a temple body. It is not animal. It is actually divine. Not divine in the sense of God, but in the divine of sense of responsibility. And you will give an account of everything that's done in this body. Now, there's so much I want to say this morning, and I need God to help me that I say the right things. Go to chapter 6 again. Stay with chapter 6. Go to verse 15. Then I'm going to let you be seated, okay? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Listen now. Your body is a temple. A temple body. So what part can this body have with the devil? With unbelievers? With Belial, which is a dark name for a dark spirit. Or which part hath he that believeth with an infidel? An infidel, someone doesn't believe. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Now listen. For ye are the temple of the living God. For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, help me now. You may be seated. Keep your Bible open. I'm going to preach on the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Ghost. Ye are a temple of God. That's the title, brethren. Ye are a temple of God. Now, when you think of the human body, you think of the human responsibility. You think of how our world treats the human body in our day in which we live. Most people just want to satisfy the appetites, the physical, carnal, empty appetites of the body. But God is trying to awake you to understand that your body is not complete just with the delights and enjoyments and satisfactions of the body, but that you are a temple, and that the real beauty of your life is this temple of God. Now, I want to show you something before I go any further. The body you have is a token of the body you shall have if you walk with God. It overwhelmed me. I turned and found this verse this morning. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. For ye know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, see, he calls it a temple. Here he calls it a tabernacle. We're told in another place, our body is a member of Jesus Christ. That's if we're saved. So there's such wonderful titles given to the human body. Well, here's something that's overwhelming. For we know that our earthly house, now that's another term now for the temple, earthly house, tabernacle, body of Christ, of Jesus, of his body, member of his body, it actually says. And here he goes even further and calls it a tabernacle. Now, you know, a tabernacle is where something dwells. That's a place where something comes in to inhabit. And your tabernacle is a body, a temple for God by the Holy Spirit to indwell. That's the very purpose of your life. You were created to be a temple of God. You were created to be a tabernacle of God. But if our earthly house of this tabernacle be destroyed or dissolved, he uses, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, reserved in the heavens. Now you got to listen to this. It's over my head. I hope I say it enough that you can understand it. But that tabernacle you in right now. How many of you have a body that you're in right now? Let me see your hand. Let me see if you know what you are. Your body. How many know that body is a temple? That body is a tabernacle. But that body is only a shadow of what's awaiting you over there. And that scripture, as I will read the rest of it, says that when this tabernacle is dissolved and it no longer exists, that God has a tabernacle in heaven reserved to take the place of this tabernacle. Is anybody getting that? See, now you're not going to get that tabernacle if you don't treat this tabernacle right. You're not going to go from an old earthly, sinful, ungodly tabernacle to heavenly, the heavenly city, and receive a greater tabernacle. I was sitting here praying, and I hope you don't mind me telling you what happened, but a word got a hold of me. I had never heard the word before. It is betoken. Betoken. B-E-T-O-K-E-N. I said, the Lord's talking to me, telling me what I'm supposed to preach. And I get this word betoken, and it grips me. And so I have to go on Google to find out how to spell the word. And then to find out what the word means. And when I found out, I was just overwhelmed. When he says that we are betokened, when he says that, that means we are a token of the heavenly real. We are just a reflection. We are a testimony of what is waiting for us over there. And God has betokened to us a promise that if we will treat this tabernacle and this temple right, and we will live pure and holy under the blood of Jesus Christ that are waiting for us when death has passed over, oh glory to God, a new tabernacle in the heavens that has no emptiness and no carnality, eternal forever. If you got that, raise your hand. Did you get it? That body you're sitting there in is nothing but a shadow of one up there waiting for you. When I was studying this morning, I just wanted to hang it up and go. I did. I just wanted to hang it up and go. I know I'm sanctified. I know my heart is as pure as I know how to get it. And I'm crying out every day for the blood to sanctify any part of me that I don't see and know. And I know I belong to him. And I know I have a problem. He has betokened to me a body in heaven. Can you hear it now? He has betokened to me a body in heaven. That's a big word, and I've never seen it before, but I sure fell in love with it. He has betokened to me a body up there of which this is but a token. Have you ever bought some tokens to ride on an expressway in some of these big cities? And you buy these tokens, and they're just of the same value, but they have no intrinsic value. But when you use them, they become of the same value as you paid for them. Let's say you pay a quarter, and you have a token. It's not a quarter, it's a token. Well, he's telling you that your body is a token. He has betokened to you the promise that if you'll serve God and keep this temple pure and get this temple right with God and live under the blood of Jesus Christ, that when you leave here, you go into a better place. And you're going to have a brand new body, Paul. A brand new body. Are you listening to me? And hallelujah, this body is nothing but a shadow of that body. Somebody raise your hand and praise the Lord a little bit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Brother Chambers, why do I need to be a Christian? You know, answering that's almost beyond the measure. Because you right now are sitting there, Paul, in a body that's going to decay and go back to dust. It's probably worth $1. Maybe $2 in chemical substance. And that's the same with my body. I'm not putting you down. Your body is nothing but a token. It's nothing but a token. And you know what? You're here on this earth. You're here in this world to get yourself ready for the next world. Your main reason to be here is to get ready for over there. Down here, all you've got is a token of what you're going to have over there. Hallelujah. And I can hardly wait to get my over there. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody help me praise him this morning. If you're not living godly and holy, you don't understand what you're giving up for a few pleasures of the old flesh. Do you understand? The pleasures of this life are so empty. Sister Lisa, I know you love this kind of preaching because this is what all the preachers used to preach this because we knew we're just a token down here. We're just a little shadow. You say, Brother Chambers, I see so many weaknesses in you. I don't doubt that. You see, this is just a token. This is not the real thing, folks. Do you hear me? I'm talking about eternal. I'm talking about heavenly. I'm talking about the forever. The forever. This is nothing but a little token of the forever real thing. I got a joy. I'd like it if the Lord would let me just go over there and see that other body. Woo! Wouldn't that be something? Do you know, if I could show any one of you your real, your forever, your crown jewel, we might call it. I got a crown jewel waiting over there for me, Brother Charles. Woo! Hallelujah. It won't ever get old. It won't ever get ugly. And it won't ever get gray-headed. It won't lose its hearing. And it won't lose its seeing. And it won't lose the many things. What a day it's going to be. I can't wait to get there. Hallelujah. It won't get gray. It won't get old. Where are you listening to me? This is but a little taste of what a heavenly satisfaction we'll have forever and ever. That's what this temple is. It's a betoken of what we're going to get over there. I'll be talking of what we're going to get over there. If you want to study that word, you go ahead. I've never seen it before this morning, but I sure do like it. I'm here to tell you, I do have some physical weaknesses. I get tired sometimes now. I didn't used to ever get tired, not often anyway, but now I get tired a little more often. And when I go to sleep, I can sleep a little longer than I used to could. Oh, hallelujah. But I got a body that's been betokened to me. It's already finished. It's already prepared. It's shining like new money. It's a jewel. Hallelujah. It's a crown jewel. And I shall receive it. And I shall have it forever. And don't think the Bible writers didn't know this. You go to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 23. Philippians chapter 1 verse 23. Here's what Paul said. For I am in a strait. I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Boy, that's an understatement, isn't it? Paul says, I'm in a strait. That means he's between a rock and a hard place. You've heard that saying. That's what he's saying. I'm between a rock and a hard place. I'm in a strait. I'm betwixt two things. I'm enjoying serving God, he said. I've got some things down here to do. But to depart and be with Christ is far better. What would you think about Apostle Paul saying something like that? He'd already been to paradise. He'd been where I've never been. He'd been where you've never been. He'd been where nobody else has ever been and come back and told about it. He'd been to paradise. And do you know, after Paul went to paradise, he didn't care a flip about this life. He didn't care a flip. When he was in danger of being killed, he just stood up and squared his shoulders. Said, come on, enemy. You can't tempt me with wanting to go to heaven. You can't make me scared of dying, because I know where I'm going when I die. I've already seen the other side. I've already seen that world over there. Maybe he had seen his body over there. I don't know. I doubt that. But maybe, I don't know. The Lord wouldn't let him tell anyway. Whatever he'd seen, it was so precious. Now, do you understand? When I talk about your body, that I'm talking about more than just your attention. I'm talking about more than just you living for Jesus. I'm talking about more than just you giving up this old crazy world and falling in love with Christ. I'm talking about something that is so eternal and so heavenly and so breathtaking that I hardly know how to preach it, and I'm struggling for words to say what I want to say. But I want you to understand, this body is a passing fancy. And this world puts all kinds of glory on the body. They teach nowadays, be prideful. They want to make you as cocky as they can make you and as hard-headed as they can make you. They want to make you so in love with self. They're teaching self-love and self-aggrandizement and self-worldliness. The world is caught up in all of that, but not us. We're living for over there. We're not living for down here. Woo! Hallelujah! Glory. Now, how important is this temple to you? Since it's just a betoken of what you're going to get over there. How important is it? How committed are you to living a Holy Ghost-filled life? You must understand, the only thing can take you from this old frail body to that eternal body is the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Ghost. The only thing that can make the transition from down here to over there is the Holy Spirit. My Bible says in Romans 8 and 11, if you believe on him who raised Christ from the dead, he that raised Christ from the dead will also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. I've got a Holy Ghost living inside of your chambers. Hallelujah. If I should say goodbye to this world today, I've got a free ride straight to that heavenly city. I've got a body awaiting me. Hallelujah. It's been betokened to me. It's prepared by the mighty Lord. I have nothing to worry about. Heaven is going to be heaven forever. Amen. Woo! I want to praise him with all I got. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah real loud. That's right. Wave your hand, Paul. Hallelujah. Listen to me, church. This temple is just a token. Oh, am I making this clear this morning? Just a token of a new temple, a new tabernacle. Did I read all that verse? I mean, that is just overwhelming to me. Paul says, I'm in a strait betwixt two worlds. I want to depart. You know, he said to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Remember that? Oh, you can't tempt an old saint of God with death. I said, you can't tempt an old saint of God with death. When you get this rooted and ground in you, that when you leave here, you're going where? You've got a heavenly tabernacle, a Holy Ghost saturated tabernacle, not just a little blessing and a little anointing and a sweet Spirit of God here to comfort you, but you got a total saturation of all that God is, of all of God's eternal glories and powers and presence. Oh, church, we got something waiting for us. Why would anybody that knows this? See, most people don't understand this. Getting this in people's mind, what do you need to get this in your mind, buddy? You can have a heaven that is nothing but glory. You can have a new body that has no pain and no weaknesses. Or you can live for the world and self, lose your soul, spend eternity in hell. What's your choice? How many of you choose heaven? Can I see your hand? Do you really choose heaven? Are you willing to take that? Now, let me tell you something. I want to talk a little bit about what people are doing with their tabernacle. Do you understand that we've never lived in a world that's more full of fornication than we are today? Did you know there's never been as many men and women who are living in fornication? They don't know what it is to be faithful to their wife or to their husband. And in many cases, don't even care to get married, just fornicate and shack up together. And our world is going to that kind of life with utter abandonment, living like the world. The Bible says all sins are without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Oh, hallelujah. I want to tell you something, church. We need to get sin out of our minds and get far beyond it. We need to get this old body sanctified and set apart. Lord, this is your body. The Bible says that the temple, the body, is the temple of the Holy Ghost. If you defile this temple, him shall God destroy. If you defile this body, he's going to destroy you. I want to tell you something. When you live in fornication, you're not just waiting for hell to destroy you. You're going to have a hell down here. Because fornication just takes you deeper and deeper and deeper. I've known men who begin to fornicate on the sly. Nobody could catch them. They're just fornicating a little bit here and a little bit there. And then it got a little bigger. Then it got a little bigger. Then it got a little bigger, and finally it possessed them until they didn't care who knew it. They just lived in fornication. They get in, and women too, of course. They just abandoned themselves to no godless, sinful life. The devil will take you further and further and further. Did you know the devil has no bottom except hell? Only bottom there is to sin is hell. Only bottom there is to sinful living is hell. Now your body is a treasure. I want to take a little time here, and I know I got to bring this to a close shortly. But I want you to hear me. Your body in the natural, even the shadow, is a very, very important thing. It's a tabernacle. It's a temple. It's a member of the body of Christ. I mean, your body is important. If you're in sin, you are living a sinful life in a body that was created for God. So you are living a life of duplicity. You're living a life of double-mindedness. You're living a life of carelessness. You are living in a temple that God gave you. When you were born out of your mother's womb, you were a special little critter, a special little child. I love little babies. I got four great-grands now. And when I even see the picture of any one of them, my heart just jumps a leap. They are beautiful. Honestly, my great-grands are beautiful kids. And I love them. I love them. I love them. And I've been praying, God, give them a heart for you. All of them are living in sin, the mamas and the daddies. Not one of them know Jesus. And not one of them is living for Christ. And so those little four great-grands are being raised in a home where you can just look, watch them on Facebook if you see them. And it's pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. Tears my heart out of me, because I know those little lives are precious. A body, even though it's betokened that heavenly body, it's a token of intrinsic value. There is wonderful value to your body, to your life. You are going to answer to God for what you do with this temple that God has given you, even though it's but a shadow of what it can be in that eternal city. It is still of great, great value. I care about my body. I'm a nut for vitamins. The Lord spoke to me 25 years ago. I was praying, God, I've got to know how to take care of my body. I've got to live long enough to take care of my Juanita. I knew she was a diabetic and she was sick from the day I met her. And I knew she would live in that diabetes unless God healed her. And I had to take care of her. And so I would do everything I knew to take care of my body. Now sometimes I wish I hadn't done so much so I could go on to heaven. But the Lord spoke to me. Now this is going to be amazing to some of you. I don't guess I've ever told it in church. The Lord told me to start drinking 20 ounces of hot water every morning. It would be the most healthy thing I could possibly do. And so I get up every morning till today. Did I get it done? Yeah, I did. I got it done this morning. Sometimes I have to bring it in the car with me to the prayer meeting. Because I got to drink it. 20 ounces of hot water. And I drink it every morning on an empty stomach. Only thing can be under it is my magnesium and my vitamins. I will put them under often. And I drink that hot water. And you know what it does? It immediately makes my body prepare. And that hot water goes through my system and flushes out every cell of my body. And I do that every day. And I have found out there are places in the world where they teach all the people to drink hot water every morning. Anybody ever heard of anywhere that does that? There are places, I've heard of them. I've had people tell me about coming from one of those countries. And I know God told me. I tell doctors this. I told my dental doctor this. And he asked me the other day, are you still drinking that hot water? I said, every day. Every day. When are you going to start? I begged preachers to start doing it. I see preachers are so unhealthy. Their bodies look so unhealthy. So unhealthy. Recently I was somewhere and I made some statements along this line, and the pastor was a little bothered at me. He said, stop it. You know, he wanted me to shut up. And later his son came to me when daddy didn't know it. Hey, I guess I don't know why I'll tell this one. I hadn't named nobody. The son came to me and said, thank you for what you said. I hope my daddy will listen to you. I laughed and I don't dare tell the daddy. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. This body is special and you need to take care of it. And not only in the spiritual, that's the most important. That's number one. But in the physical, you ought to want to be healthy. This is his temple. This is where the Holy Ghost dwells. The Holy Ghost don't float around in this building. The Holy Ghost dwells in you. If he's going to win somebody, if God wants somebody to be saved, he'll send one of us to tell them. He don't bypass us and go tell him. He calls us to tell him. Would it God has laid you on my heart. I'm not going to quit praying until you're full of Jesus and on fire for God. Do you understand that? You already know that, don't you? Well, don't quit putting me off, will you? I love that guy. He's precious. He don't mind me telling you about him, do you? If you do, tell me after it's all over, okay? Listen, church, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And I want you to think right now, how important is your body now in this world? What did Paul say? To live is Christ, to die is gain. He said, I'm in a strait between what? Going to heaven and staying here. He said, to stay here is more profitable. More profitable. I got work to do. I got work to do. I don't mind. I'm going to work to the last moment. I pray to God I can go to heaven from that pulpit. That'd suit me great. Just to preach. I want to finish the sermon first. Now, holy God, let me get my sermon over with. And then I'll go. I'm kidding, of course. But I'm going to tell you something, church. Your body is important. Your body is important because it's a shadow. What you going to have over there? Now, understand something. This body is a shadow of what you're going to have over there. And if you don't live for Christ, what you get over, you won't even get over there. So all that's waiting for you is up to you to take this body and give it to Christ and serve the Lord. Would you bow your heads in prayer? Father, I preach from my heart. I have preached a sermon that has been heavy on me to say it correctly and to say it rightly. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for it, Lord. And I believe you, God, by your power and by your grace to save somebody in this building this morning. You say, Brother Chambers, I have been saved, but I'm not living right. Then I'm inviting you to come. Brother Chambers, I've never been saved. And I know this body is but a shadow of that one over there. And how I conduct my life here in this body will determine what I get over there. I read that in the first scriptures I read. That you will receive what you have done in this body. Has anybody understanding that? I'm stop praying a moment here because I want to make this point clear. You're going to receive what you do in this body. You live for Christ. You live a sanctified life. Your future is star-studded. Do you hear me? You live a godly life. Your future is star-studded. Not a Hollywood star in California will have anything to compare with what any saint of God in this building will have eternally. Are you hearing me? The richest star in California, living for sin and the world, will get nothing but judgment. But any saint of God sitting in this building who gives your body as a temple for the Lord, as a place for the Holy Ghost to do his wonderful business, as a place for Christ to be glorified, you're going to be richer in eternity than the richest star in California. Are you hearing me? You wait till you see that new body you're going to get, that mansion you're going to dwell in. My mansion is already finished. It's sitting there on Hallelujah Boulevard. The front lights are on. I've asked for a lion to live on the front porch to protect the place. And it's waiting for me. What a day that's going to be when I get there. You think I'm loud now. You wait till you down the block somewhere hear me shouting hallelujah. What a day that's going to be. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, somebody needs to get saved. Somebody needs to stand up and come forward. I'm going to ask anybody that's lost before I have you to stand to just stand up and say, pray for me. If you're lost, you're not right with God, would you stand? Would you stand? I'm not going to push anybody. I'm not going to beg you. I'm going to give you about 30 seconds. If you're lost and you want us to pray for you, stand up. Stand up. I'm waiting. Is anybody? Is your temple being defiled? Are you living in any kind of sin, open sin? Have you never made Christ the Lord of your life? Has he never took over this body, this temple, and made it the temple of the Holy Ghost? What's missing? What's absent? All right, everybody standing. Everybody standing. I want every saint of God to lift up your hand, and I want you to pray. Would you pray? Would you pray? Every saint of God, pray. Every saint of God, pray. Is there anybody lost? Is there anybody lost? Is there anybody lost? How many are keeping your temple pure? Why do we teach holiness in this church? It's because what you do in this temple down here is what you're going to inherit in that new tabernacle over there. Do you understand? If there is a reason in all the world to preach old-time Bible holiness, it is because what this body does and has down here will determine the greatness of that tabernacle you're going to inherit over there. You got this as a betoken of what you're going to get over there. Would you say it out loud with me? This is my betoken.
I want to preach this morning
of what I'm going to get on the other side.
The Holy Ghost and your body.
Oh, it's hard work to do the things of God.
Whichever word
I would say, Brother Dylan and Sister Dylan, Sister Beatty, worked hard to have that youth event. I would say there was a few hours in it. They probably put some of their money in it.
And it is a body.
You see? It ain't easy.
A temple body.
I've given him 61 years to pastor. I've loved every year of it.
Body.
I'm going to be his till it's over.
Temple.
I'm excited. But I'm looking forward to what he's betokened to me over there.
We labor.
Woo! Somebody raise your hand and just say, I'm waiting for heaven. I'm looking forward for heaven. I'm looking forward to my new body. I'm looking forward to my new body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want us to meet together at this altar. Would you come and stand with me? Visitors, please come right on with everybody. Please come right on. We want every one of you. You have done in this body, temple. If it was an animal body, there would be no judgment. You would just die and disappear off the map.
There's a covenant sweet.
Hallelujah.
It was written for me. It's a promise that I could be healed.
Hallelujah.
From all my sin and my shame, even heartache and pain, it was signed and confirmed on a hill. So I rest my case at the cross.
Trial is won through.
justified, satisfied. Oh, I am it all. So I rest.
I want everybody to stand.
My case at
exactly what they said.
The cross. Don't feel sorry for me when you see I'm